Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. Thanks for kicking it off with us at WFHR. Take it, Marvin. Your host, James, behind the mic, joined by Seth.
Good morning.
And the best listeners in radio. Thanks for being here, everybody. We're going to have some fun this hour. Getting some entertainment news, let you know what's new on your small screen, your big screen. We'll also talk a little bit about our open house coming up.
Mm-hmm.
Excited about that.
Yes.
We got a great one coming up for you in a little bit as well about rock songs that bands have performed over 1,500 times.
Wow.
An interesting article. I've
That's
not looked at that
a lot of times,
one.
Man.
And then I'm just giving you the headline for this one.
All right.
A giant tub of mayonnaise married my friends. We will discuss. All coming up for you. We'll also get into
chips
our,
at 11.
We'll also get into our schedule. We got another set of Yacht Rock Gold Experience tickets to give away
yep.
this hour.
Mm-hmm.
All of that. We got Brewers tickets to give away this hour.
Oh, yes, that's right. Oh my goodness.
We got so many different things to do like that, and we don't have nearly enough time. So let's get right into
let's
it.
Get into it
and dive into some entertainment news, Seth.
Okay.
We've been, of course, the home of Dolly Parton news for quite some time, mm-hmm. so we got to start here. Dolly Parton's new stage show, Dolly, A True Original Musical, opens tonight in Nashville.
It does. Already? Oh, my gosh.
Wishing all the actors, performers, people working backstage a great run.
Yep,
break a leg. Enjoy mm-hmm. yourselves. And the Queen of Country has been spending a lot of time with the cast. She's even shared a few personal secrets with them.
Ooh, nice.
Carrie St. Louis, who plays a version of Dolly in the musical, says she spent nearly every day with her during rehearsals. Then one day, Dolly didn't show. That's when the cast got a letter from her apologizing for missing rehearsal because her husband, Carl Dean, had passed away.
Oh, my goodness.
The woman sends an apology letter when her... My goodness, man. And the only reason we know is because this lady said it.
Yeah,
told
she wouldn't have told them otherwise. Anyone otherwise,
it's incredible.
Yeah.
But Dolly was back with them after only a few days. And keep in mind, everybody, there is no reason for her to be there. She doesn't have to be there is what I mean, I should say.
Yeah, exactly. You're right, yeah.
There's plenty of reason for her to be there, but yeah. I mean, she doesn't have to. She's not a director. She's not even really a producer. Well, she's a co-producer on it.
Right.
But... There's nobody who would be complaining.
But she's not like involved directly in the show other than that, yeah.
All the work that Dolly was, is required to do, she's done.
Right.
It's already done.
Exactly.
But she's still showing up and helping out the cast. And I can't imagine as an actor, for one, to get to talk to the person you're playing,
yeah.
but then that person to want to help you play themselves.
Mm-hmm.
We don't always see that.
Right.
That is really cool. most of the details are being kept under wraps until the musical opens. But Carrie says, it's the most authentic portrayal possible since Dolly oversaw every detail.
Right.
I also love, and I don't know if this was intentional or not, but almost a little throwback and kind of almost homage to Gypsy. To me, I think maybe the greatest musical, not musical, but play about a musician.
Right. About a performer. Yeah, yeah, right.
I admit that I was in this show, and so it's a little personal to me.
Sure.
But and I bring that up as well because I didn't know until seeing the play version and being a part of it mm-hmm. that they do, I think, a really good job in that play of giving you a young Rose, a kind of middle-aged mm-hmm. Rose, an older Rose, and all that. I like that they're doing that with this play.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a much, much smarter way to do this than trying to have one person playing Dolly of all of her, all these decades.
Right.
And this Carrie St. Louis is incredibly talented. She may end up being a household name.
That's cool.
After this.
Very cool.
That's great. Break a leg.
Yeah.
Have fun.
Hope it goes well.
You can find the complete article at tasteofcountry.com. Go ahead and find that. And, of course, Dolly's Musical has a fantastic website. Mm-hmm. Check it out there. Macaulay Culkin was on the latest episode of Hot Ones and was asked to fact check some rumors about Home Alone. Quick side note. Great comeback story for him.
Mm-hmm.
Great comeback story. He looks great, has been working, has been, seems great, seems mm-hmm. healthy and all that, and really worked his way back into the industry. He was offered a couple of big gigs that he turned down because he felt he wasn't ready for, mm-hmm. and he wanted to kind of work his way back in really slowly. Did a couple of guest spots on American Horror Story and some of these things mm-hmm. to really start building his rep up again, and played some really nasty characters that I wouldn't imagine the Home Alone kid doing.
Right.
But I really admire it.
And
he's really good. Like the movie Saved. His performance mm-hmm. in that movie is better than anything he did as a kid. It's really good mm-hmm. stuff. So for starters, did you know that his stunt double was nearly 30 years old? In the movie Home Alone, the Macaulay Culkin's stunt double was like 30. His name was Larry. Macaulay was 9 years old at the time, and he knew Larry was much older, but he thought he was like 13. He thought he was a little old, just a little older. Yes. He didn't think he was like that kind of old.
But he looked a lot younger, apparently. Yeah.
And Macaulay remembered being worried about Larry when he had to do a stunt where he falls from a collapsing shelf. Quote, it was a vicious first take. They didn't like the way everything felt, and they had to do it over and over and over again. Oh, and I'm going, please take it easy on Larry. He's only 13 years old. You got to hear him say it. You got to hear him talk about it in the interview. He also mentioned that his cause you're a stranger line to the grocery store clerk was all his idea. And yes, the photo of Buzz's girlfriend was a boy with makeup on and a couple of other cool little little facts about it and everything. It's a very genuine, fun interview.
You know, it's I'm glad it's obvious he's made his peace with, you know, whatever. You know, the whatever came from that. Because, I mean, I can't imagine being a 9-year-old doing all this, you know, being in a movie like that. And then it being so big, so huge. And you're just, you're a kid, man. Oh, I'm really glad he's in a good place right now. I love that.
Shout out to that Sean Evans, the host of Hot Ones. He's the only thing I have, the only little nitpick I have about the show is that I feel like the eating and the hot wings and all that stuff really distracts. Like, he's a great interviewer. I don't think he needs the gimmick.
No.
I don't know if it's something he wants or something they did to kind of have the interview stand out or whatever it is. But, man,
it's a thing now.
It has worked.
It has.
If you are a name and you have a movie coming out, you almost have to be on that show. It's really like,
and that's one of those wild things that just you never saw coming.
No.
You know, all of a sudden, whoa, what?
I really do like the way he interviews. He's a very good interviewer. Mm. If you had to create the Mount Rushmore, this is one of our favorite things to do as guys, Seth. I don't know if women do this too. I apologize if they do. I've just never heard a woman even like in any interest in this conversation, let alone actually doing that with their girlfriends or anything.
Yeah.
But we do this in sports, the Mount Rushmore of quarterbacks, the Mount Rushmore for this team and stuff, you know, and it's the top four of any, you know, of this, what we're talking about. It's something we do all the time. Well, I don't know if I've ever seen it like this. Vice.com did this whole Mount Rushmore of grunge music, and which bands would you choose?
Okay.
And they shared theirs along with who they think it represents each president. I've never thought of that.
Oh, so they're actually literally like doing a Mount Rushmore comp on this. Okay, interesting, interesting.
I thought that was quite interesting.
All right.
So for this, we take a look, and Nirvana is George Washington.
Right.
Washington was America's first president, mm-hmm. and the face of the country, just as, you know, Nirvana was really the face of grunge.
Yeah, yeah. They were the progenitors of it, like it or not. And they I don't think they liked it that much, but it still happened.
And certainly you have to put them on the Mount Rushmore of grunge.
Absolutely.
You cannot. I think that's probably the easiest answer of all these. Soundgarden. I think that I don't think that you can have this list without them at number two. And some people might have them at number one in many ways, as far as pop hit or popular hits and stuff.
Right.
Soundgarden is Thomas Jefferson. Their strong yet melodic creations helped forge a path from the 80s into the 90s. Just as Jefferson is an essential as a Washington when telling the American story, Soundgarden is just as essential as Nirvana.
That's a good point. I would agree with that, yeah.
Especially if you want to get into the weeds on this one, and really Mother Love Bone was before all of these bands, and you had members from each of those bands.
Yeah, exactly.
And next up, of course, Pearl Jam, probably the more pop-friendly of all of these bands.
Yes.
Even though I wouldn't say that they were necessarily poppy at all. I would not call it pop grunge or anything.
No, exactly, but they were the arena group, you know. They were the hard rock. I don't know. I don't like to categorize, but yeah, they had a certain sound that was not like the others, and it seemed bigger. It just seemed like a bigger sound that they had.
They felt like the only band that didn't shy away from getting big and famous and all that and everything. They seemed to almost embrace it, whereas every other band had a little bit of anxiety or angst about it or something like that.
Well, it was grunge, angsty.
Right.
It came with the territory.
Pearl Jam is Theodore Roosevelt.
Yeah.
Ah, Teddy, one of my favorites. Teddy had causes that he took up, mm-hmm. namely for the preservation of nature. Mm-hmm. Similarly, Pearl Jam has always had things that they have been mm-hmm. outspoken about, whether it's gun violence, the environment, or the price of concert tickets, famously.
Yeah, right. But what you just said, I think, was even more. Roosevelt was the boisterous, you know, he was always loud and filled a room. Again, Pearl Jam, that's what they wanted. They wanted to fill that space.
I can't get over how much these are lining up.
That's pretty good.
I completely agree with all these three right now.
Yeah.
And they landed it for me because the one band that I got to have in there is in there. Alice in Chains.
Yeah.
And Alice in Chains is Abraham Lincoln. As famous for good times as he is for bad, Lincoln led the country through the Civil War. Alice in Chains were always in the middle of something harsh, like Lane Stanley's issues and some of those things, but continued to push forward. Alice in Chains put out just as much music as anybody else.
Yeah,
and
it's true.
And I will say, for me, they're my favorite of all of these bands, although I do like all of them and everything. Mm-hmm. But Alice in Chains is like top 10 favorite band of all time for me.
Right, right.
I like the comp. I like all of these comps. I think that's a really good list.
And honestly, the four they picked, I honestly can't think of one to replace any of them with, because those were all, they were the big names. I guess the one, you know, if we have to throw a Crazy Horse in there, in terms of monuments, right?
Nicely done.
Maybe, I don't know, Smashing Pumpkins? Maybe? Yeah. I don't know, because they were kind of, I know they came a little bit later, but still, they had that. They had the grunge legacy with them, I think.
If we're looking at like the early bands, I think, as I mentioned, Mother Love Bone, I think the Jayhawks, I think there's a couple of Seattle particular bands, Mudhoney, in particular, that literally got the sound going in Seattle to where it would get as big as it did. But I don't know how you can do it. Stone Temple Pilots came a little bit later, you know, but they did keep the music going for a long time, keep that energy going a little bit longer than some of the other bands.
So if you want to go for like the most hated by like critics and stuff group, I don't know who you'd comp like Stone Temple Pilots with.
Yeah, yeah.
Like they're the John Wilkes Booth, maybe.
Right, like there's no other. Yeah, I don't know. But they certainly were. They took all the heat for
Take the heat. Wow.
When people got tired of grunge, they took it out on them.
They did.
Yeah.
And that usually happens.
Which wasn't fair.
Never fair. Yeah, and it happens to, you know, we could name the bands, right? Mm-hmm, that for some reason everyone just hated.
Yeah. And it's usually that band that came out just a little later than the others.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah. Between them and Creed, I think. One of those two.
Right. Perfect. Yeah. Yeah, it's a good list. I like that.
That was fun.
Go to Vice.com if you want to check out the complete article.
Yeah.
Looking at what's new in your small screen and big screen this weekend, we start with your TV. Stars has Outlander, Blood of My Blood. It's a prequel series focused on the parents of these characters.
Is Melissa geared up for that? I know she's a big Outlander fan.
I wonder if she is. Yeah. Totally Funny Animals, the first season finale, is on 8 o'clock on CW.
Okay.
I just wanted to say that title. I have no idea what that show is, but I hope it's good.
I'm guessing it's what they say it is, the title. I think it's probably pretty close to
it
that.
It is pretty self-explanatory. Tonight on USA and Sci-Fi, the fourth season and series finale of Resident Alien. A great show.
So sad that's coming to an end. But yeah, I've never seen it, but I've heard so many good things about it. Yeah.
I really hope I get a chance to check out at least the highlights of this. Sunday night at 7 on NBC, the U.S. Gymnastics Championships.
Ooh, cool. Ooh, very nice.
That should be really good. Oh, my God, I want to check that out. That sounds really good. And then taking a look at what's new on your big screen. At this point in the summer season, most of your movies, your big releases have already come out.
Yep.
And most studios are afraid to release anything because of the big summer blockbusters that are still in theaters.
Yep. Still pulling a lot of crowds, yeah.
Now, in years past, they've been a little braver about this because those movies have not done as well as they thought, and they haven't stayed in theaters as long. This summer, this is one of the few times where they didn't need, they just played this perfectly because they had to have had an idea that Superman, the Fantastic Four, or Jurassic Park, some of these big hitters were going to do, one of them was going to do well and probably still be in theaters.
Yeah.
So that's why you're seeing like comedies coming out now. Mm-hmm. For one, studios are definitely afraid to release a comedy on anything other than streaming.
Right.
The last big blockbuster comedy summer movie that you've seen.
That wasn't a kid's focused right, one, because right. That's different because that's for kids, right. But like an adult sort of comedy. Yeah, exactly.
So that's why you release Naked Gun now, late in summer, mm-hmm. and all that. Either that or you release it right at the beginning of summer, right mm-hmm. at the start of it or right. anything. I've heard good things, and it seems to be doing well mm-hmm. Movie-wise and stuff. So hopefully studios will bring more comedies to the movies. We'll I don't know. But in the same light, family movies are, this is when they get released. And I'm a little surprised that this got a nationwide release. But then when I started hearing from my students and stuff, this movie has such a cult following, much bigger than I ever realized, the Freaky Friday movies.
Oh, yeah. Curious, yeah.
I'm talking to a student. She is just turned 19. We just celebrated her birthday this week and everything. And she is talking about how her and her mom grew up on, or she grew up on these movies, like the original ones and stuff that. What's her name? The old twins or whatever they played.
Oh, Haley Mills. Yeah. Well, she wasn't twins, but yes. But
She played both characters.
Yeah, right. In the I think we're going too far back. I think I went too far back. Like Mary-Kate and Ashley kind of thing, maybe, or something like that.
Even further back than the
original Parent Trap or something like that.
Those movies.
Oh, wow.
So it set them on a course of watching all those movies.
I see. Okay.
I'm sorry. That's what I was trying to say.
Okay.
And so the idea of this has always been seemed like, honestly, of all the tropes in movies and TV shows, this is like top three laziest in the world to me. It's never interested
right.
me. I don't know nothing. Like, these movies are hugely popular. People love these movies. That's awesome.
I'm glad to see that, yeah, that they found an audience.
And the big movie coming out tonight, Freakier Friday, rated PG. Jamie Lee Curtis and Lindsay Lohan return as Tess and Anne to exchange bodies again, I guess. They didn't learn their lesson. I don't know what happens.
The weird cosmic things, yes.
Mark Harmon is Tess's husband, and Chad Michael Murray is Anna's ex. So it's interesting.
Chad Michael Murray.
Two names I have not said.
Wow.
Big fan of Mark Harmon. I'm a big like Mark Harmon guy. I like seeing him work.
Yep.
And it's cool that they did this.
Sure.
See how it does.
Why not? We'll see.
Yeah.
Let me know when they release the Shaggy DA and we'll, you know.
Oh, nice. The Apple Dumpling Gang. You'll see that one, the remake of that. Well,
but you can't because there's no Tim Conway.
You can't do it without Tim Conway.
No, no.
We will take a time out. We'll come back and not only get into a fun topic here about bands and how many times they played certain songs, but we'll talk about our open house. Mm. And we got this Yacht Rock Gold experience to talk about
as well.
All coming up on The Morning Show at WFHR.
I love the colorful clothes you wear and the way the sunlight plays upon her hair.
Welcome back, everybody. Morning's here at WFHR. Seth and James hanging out with you. Hope you're having a great Friday out there.
On the wind that lifts her perfume through the air, I'm picking up good vibrations.
Seth, I ask you, off the top of your head, how many times do you think the Beach Boys played Good Vibrations?
Oh, that's a good question. Probably not as many as you think.
Mm, yeah.
It might be a little harder song to recreate live. Mm. I'm sure they did it plenty of times, though. So.
I do love the idea of a live theremin being played. Like somebody bringing a live. Like, have to get to bring it on the tour with them.
Yes,
and
those are hard to play, by the way. Yeah. If you have to be really good to do those.
In the elements live?
That would be wild, yeah.
I would imagine it messed with the sound even because a lot of that is.
It might.
The wind or something, mm-hmm. I don't know. But I imagine that they definitely played it, I would feel comfortable saying hundreds of times. I feel comfortable saying that with being around multiple decades and that. And that's kind of where we're leaning into. It's safe to assume that bands play their most popular hits all the time. But have you ever wondered just how many times?
Mm.
A new study took stats from the website setlist.fm, which is actually a really cool one.
Nice, yeah.
If you are ever interested, now I like to be surprised. I don't like to look up the playlist. Mm-hmm. I actually kind of refuse to do that. But you've been able to do this for a really long time.
Yes.
If you want to see. Now, it's not always exact, but it is kind of cool. And I know for people that have seen bands multiple times, mm-hmm. it's a really big deal. Like,
right.
oh, I never saw them do this one and that kind of thing. So I think it's kind of a cool list, our cool website, mm-hmm. setlist.fm.
Yep.
They went there to find out which songs rock bands have played over 1,500 times. So that was the bar.
At least 1,500 times, yes.
I think we're having an interesting conversation about this. And of all the musicians we've gotten to talk to, I've never really gotten to talk to a musician and ask them, hey, this song, hey, what's it like for Lynyrd Skynyrd when they were around, of course, maybe a bad example with mm-hmm. them not being around that long, but of playing Freebird every, right. you know, right. play Freebird yeah. every night and stuff. I imagine that a band probably go, if they're lucky enough, gets through an ebb and flow of that, mm-hmm. where in early on, they don't mind doing it. There's probably a stretch where they, you know, roll their eyes, and then maybe they come back around to it. And then
they don't mind so much, right? Yeah, that makes sense.
I wonder. I'd love to talk to some of yep. these artists about this. At number 10, You Give Love a Bad Name from Bon Jovi is played 1,570 times, and I feel like I've heard every single one of them. Sorry, just I got really burnt out of Bon Jovi, man. Terry is giving a look at me right now. I can feel it.
Daggers.
That's not surprising.
No, it's not.
I actually would have thought it'd be higher almost.
Yeah, right.
Walk This Way from Aerosmith, 1,761 times.
Boy, that's a big jump already. Wow.
Just the difference in how long the number, that band has been around.
Right, and, exactly. And what you think, you know, boy, Aerosmith's had a lot of hits through the years. But it doesn't surprise me that that one would be the big one that mm-hmm. they play the most.
Of course, Don't Fear the Reaper from Blue Oyster Cult, 2,619 times.
That maybe they had to play at least like twice every show. No, I'm just teasing Blue Oyster Cult. But I mean,
it's interesting because not a band that was around that long compared to Aerosmith and
Smokers right, yeah, on this list. Exactly. But man, but that's a lot. Wow.
At number 7, I Want You to Want Me from Cheap Trick, 2,239 times.
Well, see, now that one we might be able to get, you know, Wisconsin band. Maybe they'll mm-hmm. talk to us. Maybe we can get Robin Zander on here or something, Rick Nielsen. I don't know.
It'd be awesome to talk to them again. No, I had like 5 seconds with them introduced them.
It counts.
They're going to lead on that. At number 6, Rock of Ages from Def Leppard, 2,081 times.
That's the song for Def Leppard?
20 guesses, yeah. I wouldn't have guessed that.
No, not considering all their songs. Man, really?
Yeah, Pour Some Sugar on Me.
Yeah, yeah, easily, I thought that would be like number one. Do that one, yeah. Maybe in the first like Photograph or something like
yeah,
that.
But yeah. Wow. Huh. At number 5, Rock and Roll All Night from Kiss, 2,228 times. I don't know how that can be accurate.
What, you think it'd be more than that?
Way, yeah. way more than
Unless
that.
Unless there was a time when they refused to play it, which I think could have happened at some point. Maybe. But, yeah. man.
I know that when I saw them, that we knew, I didn't see a set list, we just knew that was going to be the end.
Oh, of course.
And one of the few bands where you don't need a curtain call, like they give you such a show. Each one of those guys yeah. gets a solo, and it's not just a solo, it's Ace Frehley, and he's soloing and playing amazing, and his guitar's on fire. Like, you know, Paul Stanley's flying out into the audience and everything.
It's not just a show. It's like a performance. It's a spectacle is what it is. Yeah.
No pun intended with their final, like one of their last albums, Psycho yep. Circus, but it is a circus. It really is.
It is.
And Paul Stanley is the, you know, ringmaster. It's really something. Master of Puppets from Metallica at 1,774 times.
Wow. Yep.
Again, Enter Sandman, I would have thought would have been again,
but Master
of
Puppets has been with them for longer. Yeah, and I think yeah. that's why. And they still play that probably every show.
Well, and I don't know how, I know it was popular. I don't know how well it did record sales wise, but right. One, like that's the definitive Metallica song to me is
right.
One.
Yeah.
Like you can go ahead and throw the Black Album at me all you want and sure. everything. And I got nothing against it. But if you're going to talk about that band, you got to start there for me. You got to start with One.
You do.
Now diehard fans would be able to answer that question a lot better.
Oh,
than
I'm
me
sure they would. Stuff, yes.
But just for me at least. At number 3. Dun, dun, dun. Dun, 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 dun. Smoke on the Water from Deep Purple.
Yep.
2,223 times. That is not counting every kid that has ever picked up a guitar, and it's usually the first thing they try to play.
I'm telling you. Because it's a relatively simple riff, mm-hmm. but I mean, it's so evocative, though. My goodness.
Hearing guitar players talk about it, you hit it right on the head. It's known, it's recognizable, and it's not that difficult. Mm-hmm. Not taking anything away from the original guitarist or anything. It's just part of the reason why it's been so, you know, picking it up.
Exactly.
You feel like, you know, when you're picking up an instrument, the one thing that we don't talk about nearly enough is confidence building and your confidence with that instrument. And if you pick it up and you're able to play something that you've heard a billion times or 2,000 sometimes,
right.
you feel a little more confident. confident about it.
A list that would be even more interesting to me is which songs guitarists have learned the most to. One would, I think, be on the near the top of the list, because it's like listening, you know, a lot of, you hear a lot of guitarists to say, well, I just played what I heard on the radio, or I was listening to this and I tried to emulate it. You know, that's how I learned how to play guitar.
More than any other instrument. More the guitar, you hear that with.
Yeah.
When I first picked up the trumpet, I really wanted to try to mimic Miles Davis. I really wanted to try to mimic these artists and everything. I get doing that. I also, man, is that one of the worst things I feel like we could do too? But we all do it.
You know, pick Miles Davis? Yeah, that would be a bad idea.
Pick the guy that invented seven types of jazz. At number two, School's Out from Alice Cooper. 3,090 times the most of any song on this list.
Wow.
If my dad saw Cooper live and he said he ended with School's Out.
Yeah.
That was a song he ended on. So I could see that. Not one that I of all these songs I've mentioned, I wouldn't have thought that would have the most plays.
Mm.
Interesting.
Yes.
And at number one, TNT from AC/DC, 1,588 times. Easily would have thought Thunderstruck.
Yeah. Well, but again, I think that was a little bit later in their career.
It was. Yeah. Definitely.
So they had this whole, you know, time to play those the earlier hits, right? Yeah. But TNT again, boy. There's a couple other songs there I thought would be, you know, like All Night Long or something like that for AC/DC. But, I don't know. Maybe that's one of their older ones.
And this is kind of part one, everybody.
Oh!
Because what I want to do is doing this again with Melissa. And I want to do this as a list with the audience of songs you never get tired of.
Oh.
And it has to be something that I would say at least 10 years. I think that's a good low bar there.
Right.
I'm not talking about a song that just came out or anything like that.
Yeah, you've been listening to recently. You need to be a little bit longer than that.
Talking about which songs have, you know, we'll do this next week. We'll have some fun with this one next week.
I can challenge myself. What I will do is I will try to figure out which song on the Dirty Dancing soundtrack I can still listen to. That might be a challenge.
Not a one. Not a one for me. That is not my fault. That is my sister and my cousin Lisa's fault.
It's my mom's fault.
One summer, man, every darn day they were watching that movie. And God help us if it was raining out and we couldn't go out and play. And time of my life, you don't put baby in a corner. I can quote that movie, and I don't even like the movie. Like, nothing against it. If you like it, you like it. But
not for you.
Nah,
not for you.
No, nah, man. That and Bon Jovi. We'll take a time. I'm not winning anybody over this.
Oh, boy.
We will take a time out and hopefully save my career. And we'll come back with some more fun for you, everybody. Got a good one right here. And I'm just giving you the headline. A giant tub of mayonnaise married my friends at 11.
We can all relate.
Yes. Yeah. We've all been there. We've all been there. We'll be back with more show. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Seth and James hanging out with you. Thanks so much for hanging out with us. Hope you're having a great Friday out there. We still got tickets to give away for Yacht Rock Gold Experience.
Woo.
Be listening for that before the end of the hour. Got some good stories of the day. We'll get into our schedule as well. But we got this one here. I've teased this long enough. It isn't often that we, you know, check in and see these kind of like headlines that aren't from The Onion that you noted earlier and everything. Well, a couple got married in a, quote, chicken tender dip themed wedding in Vegas.
Oh, dear.
And it was officiated by the Hellman's mascot, Manny Mayo. And believe it or not, this was something they agreed to. This is something they wanted. They were in favor of. They chose this. Nick Phelps and Heather Schering were the winners of a Hellman's wedding contest package, which included a ceremony, a full reception with food, a professional photographer, and $5,000 to cover travel expenses.
Well, hello.
You know, as expensive as weddings are and everything, I can't stand mayonnaise. And I may even think
would
about
you be
this
doing
one
this?
If I,
maybe
if I
you
was
would.
Getting married. Yeah,
you
maybe.
Get everything paid for?
Yeah. And they were into it. The couple describes themselves as, quote, condiment sommeliers or
sommeliers.
Thank you.
The people
thank
that you. Do wine, yeah, are called that are wine tasters.
That's an unfair word for people with dyslexia.
That's not
that
nice.
Is unfair.
Nice. Throwing French words in there. How dare they?
They say that the wedding was, quote, very on brand for them. And in fact, during the previous proposal, the ring was hidden in a sauce ramekin. So I guess they really like leaned right into it.
I guess so. Why not?
In fact, I feel bad for anybody else that like threw their name into this contest.
Yeah, you weren't going to win.
Yeah, you had no chance.
Not with these guys.
This is just too much, man. They were notified that they won the contest on July 2nd, and the wedding was July 21st. Mm. So they had less than 3 weeks to prepare, but it's easier when a mayonnaise brand is handling all the logistics, which, shout out to Hellman's, man. They went above and beyond with this contest.
They really did. Wow.
One of the couple's friends reported on it first with the Wall Street Journal, with the headline, "A giant tub of mayonnaise married by friends." It's fantastic.
Clickbait for sure, but still fun.
And the Wall Street Journal.
Like, I mean, seriously.
If you need to know where journalism is in this day and age. Everyone also had to sign a waiver agreeing to waive their moral rights.
What? That's weird.
Yeah, I would like a little more questions about that.
Yeah, that's odd. Anyway.
She said Hellman's initially had a dress code sending guests a palette of Hellman's colors, but they didn't end up caring about it. So they didn't make them stick to it. I think maybe it was more of a, you know, they were hoping
a suggestion, a helpful suggestion from Hellman's.
And when marrying them, Manny Mayo said, "Like chicken tender dip and chicken tenders, marriage is a beautiful union of two special flavors that just work together." The audience erupted with a genuine awe.
Aww.
The couple later read their actual vows at a Chippendales. No.
You're hilarious.
It was right on the strip, though. I'm sure of that.
Yeah.
If you're interested, people.com has a photos of the wedding and a bunch of that. Again, question to the audience, question to you, Seth. If you are going to get married and a condiment company is going to sponsor the wedding, I'm not asking if or not you would do this. You're already all in on this.
Okay.
It's just picking the condiment company, you know, which one you picking, you know, you picking Heinz, you picking, what's the mustard one? Darn it.
Plaquemines.
I was thinking of the d'Orger, the fancy one.
Grey Poupon.
Grey Poupon. Thank you. Yes. Yeah. You want to go a little fancier, ritzier, something like that.
See, now that would make more sense, right? Greg Poupon doing it? Because, you know, do the ritzy thing, you know? Yeah.
Some of my earliest memories are being called something stereotypical or something like that. I've fought my whole life against stereotypes, and I come on these airwaves, and I just go right into it because I'm right about to say marinara. I think marinara. Like, I'd have a Newman's Own or something like right. that sponsored. Like, that's the only one I could think of. All these other ones, I'm like, I don't know. Maybe a taco sauce or something like that.
There you go. But sure. Yeah, yeah.
I'm probably going with a marinara company.
Maybe Tabasco. Tabasco might be nice, you know.
Some days I feel like a walking stereotype. I really do. Hey, forget about it. I'm trying. Do you have one that pops in mind?
I don't know. Well, maybe a hot sauce. You know, that'd be kind of fun. You know,
interesting.
Go in with the whole Tabasco thing, maybe, you know, or what are the other ones? Texas Pete or whatever, you know, a couple of those other ones, but...
I can't, it was hard to think of that, but at the same time, it was also tough for me to think of just like a brand, I wear one of the few brands I back, Adidas. I wear a lot of Adidas. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't even want them necessarily sponsoring my wedding. Like, I can't think of anybody that I necessarily want in on my day, you know, in on our day, whoever this other person is.
The incongruity of condiments and weddings, you know, you'd think it'd be something more, you know, like a cake. You know, maybe a cake, a baking company or, you know, like Pillsbury. All right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It makes sense. Right. They make flour and you do that with a cake, you know, or something or a car company with a limo or something like that. Even more, a little more closer than condiments.
Yeah.
Which I just doesn't scream romance to me. But yeah. To each their own, I suppose.
I don't know. Yeah, I'd like to hear from the audience on this one. I'd also like to know more about that moral rights thing. I'd like to know more about what that was about.
And Manny Mayo?
Yeah.
Never heard of him.
Yeah.
Sorry, Hellman's. You've done a bad job of promoting your mascot.
We've known of Hellman's literally our whole lives.
Exactly.
And this is the first I've ever heard of their mascot. Yeah, yeah. That is a horrible job by them. I have no idea how old that mascot is. I have no idea.
Manny Mayo.
If you've heard of Manny Mayo, please call up and let us know. So when it comes to like a lot of this stuff too, like the brand or somebody branding your wedding or something like that, is this something that we could see more of? as businesses, as marketing people are trying harder and harder to reinvent the wheel and all of this, are we going to see more of these things where businesses are just going to start going like, and I'm not talking about celebrity weddings. I mean, like just
normal folks. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And getting in on it. I'm very curious about that.
I think it, you are. Honestly, when's the last time I thought of Hellman's mayonnaise? Like, it's been a decade, you know. I can't tell you when the last time I thought, yeah. But yeah, it's worked. We're talking about it right now, right?
Yeah.
So it gave them some, you know, market, you know, awareness, which is what they're all trying to do right now. So I would not be surprised if they did.
I would love to see, and I've never watched one of these shows. I just think the concept is kind of funny and cool. That is it cake or real? I like the idea of weddings doing this. I like the idea. Usually you have the wedding cake up there and you have the presents up mm-hmm, there.
Yep.
So like some of the presents are real and some of them are cake. I like that.
Either way you win.
Is the cake real? Is the cake real?
No, it's a new car. No.
It would never work, but I really do love the idea of opening up like a cake shop. And you never know. Like, okay, is this microwave a microwave or is it a cake? I don't know. You buy it, you don't know. You don't know.
Maybe it's just kind of a surprise. Maybe you walk out with a new microwave. Hey, you know, it's not a bad thing, you know.
We can call the shop. What's in the box? You know, I'm being told that our business is already bankrupt. Well, we've already gone bankrupt.
I have to say, there is a store in town here that does do the $50 mystery boxes, mm-hmm. you know, from like return things to Amazon or whatever it is, yeah, you know, they do. So, hey, maybe that's not a bad idea. Might be something there.
I got to call Sage and tell him I got a business idea.
Throw a pitch to him, see if he accepts it and doesn't immediately kick you out the door.
Hopefully I hear him laugh. At least I make him laugh. You know, let's hopefully. We'll take a time out. We'll come back and wrap up the show. Morning show on WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR. Seth and James here to wrap up the show for the week. Mm-hmm. Big, big time thank you to all of our guests, all of our sponsors, to the best listeners in radio, and a special shout out to all of our co-hosts putting up with me all week. We appreciate you. Thank you so much.
We should get combat pay.
You should. I think another couple months and you finally qualify.
Finally we get to go all in on it.
Want to get into our schedule and some great things we got going on this weekend in town and here at the station, of mm-hmm. course. We have got a great rapid support lined up for you today. Be sure to head on over to WFHR.com. Sign up for our newsletter. Got a new one of those out there. Mm-hmm. If you haven't done so already, sign up for the newsletter mm-hmm. and check out the rapid support. Not only past interviews, but of course, current ones. Like today, we're going to be talking to our friend Matt Zakowski from Assumption High School.
Very good.
Talk a little
about fun to talk to Matt. Yeah.
School year ahead. Mm-hmm. And in part two, Bill Arneson's going to join us from our friends right on down the block here at Tri Norris.
Ooh.
Got the ski club and Winter Park annual mini mudder coming up. We're going to talk about that with Bill like we do every year.
Fantastic.
Big thank you to Meredith and the gang at Visit Wisconsin Rapids mm-hmm. Bureau for setting that up. We appreciate them doing that. And of course, this weekend, Seth, we got some great stuff going on as well. It kicks off, at least here in town, with the Wisconsin Rapids Downtown Farmers Market.
Yep.
That is going from 8 to 1 along the beautiful Wisconsin River. Mm-hmm. Get down there, buy local, support local, bring the kids. It's a lot of fun with them and everything. It's
going to
be a blast. Check that out. And got some other stuff.
Oh, we do indeed, everyone. It's the annual Whodunit down at Historic Point Boss. Here we go. I'm going to give you a little synopsis, everyone. With wealthy landowner Ada Turner out of the picture, her nephew Fred and his wife Rose have taken over much of the family business. Many have come knocking, looking to swoop in and grab power and influence on the Wisconsin frontier. And they have all been sent packing, except for one, Hiram Pembroke. And he won't be going anywhere because he turned up dead in the bunkhouse with no signs of struggle.
Dun, dun, dun.
Is it a natural death, or do we have ourselves another whodunit? Well, of course, you need to find out. Go there from 2 to 5 on Saturday, everyone, at 364 Wakely Road in Nakusa. It's $5 for adults. Students are $3 if you're a member of the Historic Point Boss. Of course, it's always free, all these events. And this is always a fun one because it's written specifically for this area and the history in this area. So not only do you get to have fun with the whodunit, you learn what happened in this area at in historic times.
It's fantastic. Buy local, support local, support this event. Everybody get to it. They keep those prices affordable for families, for us. Let's do it for them and support them. And take it a great event this weekend.
So, James, I have one question for you.
Mm. Are you ready to rock?
Rock!
At Winterfield!
Woo!
Well, you can on Saturday on August 9th.
Blew up my vocal cords.
That was so much fun. We got to do that.
We have to do more 80s.
The Glam Band will be taking the stage with opening act Monroe. Doors open at 6. Monroe takes the stage at 7, and then afterwards, the Glam Band will be on there. Go get your tickets right now, raftersbaseball.com. Now, this is all for a good cause, everyone. This is a charity show, so I think 8 of the $10 for the tickets is going to charity. And it's a really cool for vets families. I can't remember the name of the group on there, but there's more online at raftersbaseball.com. You can find out all that information there when you get your tickets, and that's all happening at Winterfield on Saturday.
It's going to be a great show.
Mm-hmm.
We also have another. It's the weekend of 80s rock
apparently,
around here.
Yeah.
Because also going on this weekend, Yacht Rock Gold Experience. Yeah. This band that is being led by Elliot Lurie, lead singer of Looking Glass with the hit Brandy.
Mm-hmm.
That is going to be going on. The fun begins at 4 on Sunday, August 10th, over at the Performing Arts Center, one of the best places you can see a show.
Absolutely.
This is a fantastic one. Get your tickets and find out more at savorthearts.com. And give me your favorite, you know, 80s hit. 80s hit.
Ooh,
doesn't
man.
Even have to be a, you know, a glam band rock song, although that is extra points if it is. but we got two tickets here to see Yacht Rock Gold Experience. Mm-hmm. If you want them, call up and get me your favorite 80s hit, and they're yours.
Oh, for me, it's probably going to be a Hall & Oates. I got to throw a Hall & Oates in there.
Nice.
Yeah. It's from the 80s.
I like that. Yeah. Anything Steely Dan put out, basically.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, that's work.
As far as Yacht Rocky type and
stuff
sure. like that.
Yeah, they're included. They're included.
The glam band Yacht Rock Weekend here in town. Enjoy some great music and support these acts that are coming to town, and the nonprofits or the rafters or any of this that are hosting them. And if you want those tickets, call up everybody. We want to get them to you. And speaking of the rafters, we got Rafter Baseball on the radio dial. Two more games.
Oh my gosh! Tonight and tomorrow. That's it.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the end of the season.
We'll be doing Playmakers tonight. Seth and I from 4 to 5 on 105.5 WIRI. Call in with your sports takes and feelings. Mm-hmm. Please spread the word about the show as well. And we're always looking for a sponsor.
Yep.
we'll be your tailgate. Leading you into Rafter Baseball one more time this season as the Rafters are in Wausau taking on the Woodchucks at 6:20.
All right.
And then the final game of the season will be Saturday 2:50, and it'll be right here at 97.5 FM. You can catch it right here. Final game of the 2025 season.
Yep.
Big thank you to our Rafters out there. We appreciate them all summer long.
Yep. Yeah, and all the fans that showed up, too.
Yeah, big, big thank you to this community for supporting their
teams. Always supporting them.
As a side note, River Kings hockey, right around the corner.
Right around the corner.
Yeah, we put down our baseball bat and pick up that hockey stick, and we get at it. It's going to be fun. Look out, be on the lookout for that. And, you know, keep it right here all weekend long, everybody. Great WFHR programming. Of course, Saturdays, we've got Outdoors with Dan Small at 6 a.m. Mm-hmm. and the Sunshine Polka Variety Show at 7 a.m. with our guy, Tim Humboldt.
Yes.
Tim does an amazing job with this one. Be sure to check that out. At 8 a.m., Terry Talks Nutrition, sponsored by Family Natural Foods. A big shout out to Family Natural Foods sponsoring that hour. It is an informative, fun hour for people. Love that one. And then, Seth, from 11 to noon, we usually play a best of our morning show. You do a great job producing that and putting together bits throughout the week for us and everything. But this week, we got a special episode we're playing.
Yeah, we do. We had a request. Someone would like to hear, in its entirety, the interview James did on Rapids Report with Sheriff Becker. It's been the first time in a while we've got to speak with him for that long period of time, and there was some really great conversation about things going on, not just in Wood County, but in stuff that's affecting Wood County, all around the nation. We hear stories and things, and I have to say that I appreciate the way Sheriff Becker addressed those issues, being very open, being very honest about it, and telling you exactly what the Sheriff's Department in Wood County is doing on certain things. So it's an important interview to listen to. So you can, of course, check it out online at the Rapids Report at WFHR.com. But if you don't have the access to that on Saturday from 11 to 12, that whole interview with Sheriff Becker will be played.
And then Sunday nights, we've got a great lineup for you. Join us every Sunday night, especially going forward now that the rafter season is done.
Yes. No more preemptions.
Yeah, which means we got to get work on new shows.
Oh, my gosh.
Director's Playhouse from 5 to 6. Join Seth and I for that one. 6 to 8, you got Seth Faces the Music.
Yes. We're standing this week, everyone. Oh, get cool. up and stand. Get up, stand up. Yes, that is one of the songs.
Yeah. Perfect. You had to have that one. Yes. One of my all-time favorites. Yep. That's a great one. From 8 to 9, Unlabeled. I take a little trip down memory lane with 90s hits. My next new episode, I don't know if it'll be this Sunday, but next Sunday probably the glam rock stuff.
Speaking of hair metal, yeah.
This will be my 31st tape, my 33rd episode, and I haven't done that yet.
Yeah, that's right.
I gotta do it. Get me your request. If you want 90s music played, I'll play it on Unlabeled. And after that, from 9 to 10, Burn Before Listening. One of our new shows hosted by Laura.
Yep.
She does the very similar thing with early aughts hits.
Early 2000s music, yes.
If you've got something you'd like to, from that era that you'd like Laura to play, reach out to our staff. You know, email us on Facebook or something like that, and we'll get it in there for you. And again, love to have businesses a part of these shows.
Yes, 100%.
A big shout out, as I just saw coming across the wire, Alt Edge here in town is sponsoring Burn Before Reading still.
Yeah, that's right.
Really cool to see. Laura's got a sponsor, and we don't, man.
Yeah, what's up with that?
That's pretty cool. That's good for her. We got to get one. I can get Acme sponsoring Unlabeled here or something. Support our show, support the work we're doing so we can keep doing it with you and for you, everybody, because you are our boss. We work for you. We want to work for you and get the good information out there like we do with our newsletter and some of those other things.
Yes.
And just wanted to touch on a couple of world good stories. Two cities in the Netherlands are installing tiny staircases on the sides of canals to help cats climb in after they fall in.
Oh, wow.
They're hoping to make about 500 of them.
Wow, and that makes sense.
It's a big problem, so it's something that they're doing to really
That's an interesting around. Solution. Wow, cool.
And we have another one here involving marriage and weddings and love.
No.
A woman in New Jersey lost two rings at a beach, and two different people found them and got them back to her. She even hired a guy with a metal detector, and he didn't find anything.
Oh,
but then a random person found one of the rings and tracked her down on Facebook, and similar with the other one.
Amazing.
That's cool.
That's awesome.
Have a great weekend, everybody.